Blog Talk Radio.
To you. This is If My People with Pastor Leona Ross. We're back again this week. We're still talking about true salvation. Today we'll be talking about idols and things in our life that we make idols, the things that we put in front of God, that we put in the place of God, that we utilize as God. But first, as always, we want to have a little praise and worship. We'll be listening to Byron Cage, Casting Crowns, and Tasha Cobbs, just to name a few. I don't own the rights to any of these songs. It is just for your listening pleasure. Again, this is Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio, If My People. If you would like to participate or call in the show just to listen, our call-in number is 516-531-9550, or you can tune in online at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. Enjoy the music.
Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, when I cry, when I pray, didn't understand, you lifted my head.
Why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his Change. Our God is awesome. The world is full of iconic figures. The people praise him. They stock us up at a high percentage. The giants in our eyes. The sky's the limit. The picture painted is larger than life, but God is bigger. Your God is greater. I weighed him on the scale like cracks and gators. Found that only God can save us. And God is gracious. That's who we flock to in the day of trouble. And when we blow it like hot food, the song's official. Nobody's greater but Shawn Mitchell. You got it right with that song. It echoes the heart of scripture. Yeah, they wonder why we so serious. It's cause Jesus Christ is also man, period.
Okay, my Jesus, the Son Christ, the King of Kings, and he's God on earth. My Messiah, born and raised to give us all a second birth. And from heaven he came down to free all that were bound. Oh God, the 4 and 20 fell down, casting down their crowns, saying, "Thou art worthy, Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power." So every man, woman, boy, and girl, let's make this declaration around the world.
He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. Awesome. Come on and lift your voice and testify.
Talking about the one and only true God, Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the triune being who died for our salvation. Amen. This is Pastor Leona Ross. I'm here today with you, if my people, on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to be talking about true salvation and who's your idol. I want to welcome again all of you who are online listening to me. I really appreciate I'm getting tongue-tied. I really appreciate you being here with me, because I'm telling you, this is going to be an awesome word today, and I hope that it truly blesses your soul to get you to look at those things in your life that you have placed inadvertently, not, I don't think purposefully, but maybe some of you purposefully, in the place of God. Those things that you, those things or those people who you value above and beyond God in your life, who you'll take their word before you will take the word of God. Amen? All right. All right. Well, we want to start with our scripture verses. And we're going to start with the signature verse in Exodus 20 and 3. It says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." No other gods before me. So what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. No other gods. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That whatever you made a god, whatever you have put in front of me, whatever you have put ahead of me, you need to remove that thing, whether it's a person, place, or thing. Sometimes we make those of us who call ourselves Christians or church folks or churchgoers, we make the pastors gods. Because we won't acknowledge that outside the Spirit of God, they are just a man or they're just a woman. They are not infallible. They are not perfect. They can do and will make mistakes. Now, are we to look over those mistakes and just go on and say they'll be all right and still blindly follow them? No, I think not. I don't think that's what God meant for us to do. Because he told us in his scriptures, he said, false prophets will come in the last days. False prophet, those who will call themselves me, those men who will say, or women who will say in this day and time, that they are God. See? That this is the only God that you need to serve. But 1 John 4:1-6 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. See? Many are going out into the world. He says to try them by their spirits. No, you don't just blindly follow them. You just don't blindly adhere to their rules and regulations because they say, thus saith the Lord. Did the Lord indeed speak? Or was it just you out of your flesh? 2 Peter 2:1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Those are lies. Lies. Even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Matthew 24:24 says, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. See? So you have to beware. So if you are following someone who said God sent them, and this is what thus saith the Lord, and that word don't line up with what the Bible says, you better check it. You better pray more for the spirit of discernment so you will know whether it is indeed of God. See, because many are gone out after the flesh in this day and time, and doing that which pleases them, and so far out of the will of God. But as it says, they will swiftly bring destructions unto themselves. So then what about the followers? Are they blindly being led, or have they been warned? This is the warning. This here indeed is the warning. The Father is telling us by his word to check the spirit by the spirit to see if it is of God. Just don't blindly follow. In other words, get back in your prayer closet. Get back in God's face if you are not sure about the person you're following or the person you're listening to. See, but we can't do that, and we fail to do that when we've gone ahead and made these people idols. That regardless of what the word says, regardless of what the Bible says about their actions, about their characteristics, about their deceitfulness, about their blatant hatred and lies, we see it. God didn't create any one person better than any other person. He said, by his stripes we are healed. Through his blood we are healed. Saved. He died for all of us. And those who believe on him shall be what? Shall be saved. Nowhere in there does it say to put your faith and trust in any human fleshly man. It says in the Lord Jesus Christ, by which there is no other name that man might be what? That man might be saved. See? You have to understand that. And you have to know. You have to know when you're being bamboozled, hoodwinked, and led astray. And it might hurt your feelings because you might truly love that person. You might truly, you know, admire and respect that person. But if they are leading you contrary to what the word of God says, then you need to distance yourself from that person and find God in your heart again. Repent and go back. To believe what thus saith the Lord. Not getting caught up in the things of this world. Because too many times, you know, some of us as Christians and so-called saints of God, as we say, we get caught up in the jump and the shout and the feel-good message. And we never go back and seek God's face and say whether, okay, well, God, is that your servant? God, are they truly preaching your word? Is that what you're really saying to the body today? Psalms 3 and 8 says, salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Salvation comes from God, not from a man or woman in the pulpit. Calling himself pastor, evangelist, apostle, whatever. It doesn't say that. It says salvation belongeth unto the Lord. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no entity, no idol on your fireplace mantle, no idol in your yard, no idol propped up in your church building or your place of worship can save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Only. See? So you may have these things, idols in your life, and you expecting them, I don't know, to do miraculous works. We just read the scripture. It says they shall perform signs and wonders in my name. But what does he say at Matthew 7 and 21? He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Not everybody claimed it. See? Because all power, I'm sorry to say, and y'all may not believe it, all power is not of Jehovah God. The enemy had power too. Where do you think witchcraft and sorcery comes from? In Revelation, he said he gave the beast power to heal. So if the enemy doesn't have any power, to those of you Bible scholars, then why does it say that I have given you power over all the powers of the enemy? Huh? Why, if he doesn't have any power, as it says in Luke 10:19, see, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, that nothing by any means shall harm you. Why was it necessary then for Jehovah God to give us power over all the powers of the enemy if the enemy had no power? How can he dissuade us or cause people to believe that he himself is God if he doesn't have any power? If he doesn't have the power to perform signs and wonders and miracles in his people? That's right, his people, those who follow him. Because don't think he don't have a following. He does. And just like Christians fast and pray, so do they. For that power to perform miracles, to deceive you. That's why he say, lest you be deceived. Test the spirit by the spirit to see that it is of God before you go following somebody falsely. And you demeaning everybody else, telling everybody else they wrong when you're standing in the wrong place, when you're following the wrong place, when you're following deceit and lies. But you want to condemn the whole world without checking the demonic spirit that you're following. Because his principles, his word, does not line up with that which the word of God is saying. You're just following blindly. Because it's a feel-good message. Because it's a message based solely and only in the flesh. To make you feel good so that that which you believe, which may be contrary to the word of God, you ain't got to change it. So if you hate folks, guess what? Because it's a message of hatred, and that's what's down on the inside of you, and that's what's in them, guess what? You ain't got to change it. Because see, we speaking the same thing, and we saying it is of God. And I ain't gonna lie, they're right. It is of a God, but not the God. See, because people take every little thing that pleases their flesh and make it God in their life. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about idols. We're talking about idols, these things that they set ahead of God, ignoring what it says in Leviticus 26 and 1 when he says, "You shall make you no idols or a graven image, now shall you rear you up a standing image. Neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God." They make these standing images and they put them in their houses and they put them in their temples and they put them in their cars or wherever, carrying them on their person. Because now this is their God. See, so it's not only money. See? It's those things that, okay, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get my little beads and I'm going to rub them. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Mary was God. Why am I praying to an idol? The Bible says, "Blessed are you among women." That's what it said. You're blessed because this is the petition God brought to her. This is what I want to do. Mary said, "Okay, let it be according to thy will." That's what it says. It didn't make her a deity. God can't come down into the earth, see, and just go back to the dust of the earth and make man again. He did that once with Adam. But what his word said was, let everything in the earth reproduce after its own kind. So he couldn't go back to the earth again because he had already sent his word out that said, let everything that's in the earth reproduce after its own kind. So he had to impregnate somebody by his spirit so that through the birth canal, a man could be born. See, because his word already went out and God is not a man that he should lie. So the same way that every other man, woman, boy, and girl came into the earth, so did Jesus Christ have to come into the earth because his word already went out. But he wasn't an idol. He was a man, a flesh and blood, walking, talking, breathing man, just like you and I are today. He had a choice of whether to obey or disobey God's will. In the wilderness, when Satan came, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, same deity, same enemy, came to him and wanted to tempt him with all the things of the world. Even told him, listen, you bow down to me and I give you all this stuff in this world. I give you everything that you see here. I will give it to you. Christ replied to him, and
And he said, get away from me. Thou shalt serve the Lord God and the Lord God only, not bow down to you. So if the principle stood then, if it's the word of God and it is eternal, then it stands now. But the problem is that we don't take time to pray. We don't take time to study, to understand what an idol is. And an idol is anything that you put in the place of God. An idol is anything that you take over the word of God, because we all know what's right and wrong. We know the Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. We all know the Bible says that God is love, and that you can't know God if you hate your brother who you see every day in the earth, but you haven't seen God, but you say you love God, but you hate your neighbor. And if we are all made in his image, then what's the problem? How can we differentiate based on skin color, or based on gender, or based on nationality, or based on status in life? Oh, I hate you because you're poor. Or I hate you because you're rich. You have better chances in life than me. How can you hate that person? You don't even know that person. Suppose the Bible says love in spite of, because love has a what? A multitude of sin. And if we truly are Christ, then we would have the character of Christ in us. We would know how to love in spite of. We would know that when we feel any emotion that is unlike God, okay, that's not of you, God, if we have his spirit. That's not of you, God, and we would pray and bind that spirit up so it didn't rest on us. See? No spirit of hatred or jealousy or any of that. If we truly are Christ, if we truly are in God, like we profess that we are, some of us, some of you, but yet you want to preach and you want to teach the opposite thereof. And don't get me wrong, I ain't just talking to the people in the pulpit. I'm talking to you parents that's full of hatred for other races, other nationalities, other genealogies. And you teach this to your children. Don't think that God is not going to hold you accountable. Oh, yes, he is. Because he has no respect to person. You might, you can. But God has no respect a person. And that which you teach in that little demon seed that you're raising up to hate people, guess what? He's going to hold you accountable for that which you're teaching. Because the Bible says in Proverbs, raise up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You want to not know why there are so many adult people who hate folks for no reason and they don't know why? That's why. Because the seed that you planted in them at a young age and now it's grown and it's festered. And they don't know another way to go. See? Because it's ingrained in them now. Because this is what mama said. This is what daddy said. So this is the way that it is. Mom and dad are now their idols. See, because whatever mom and dad said or whatever mom and dad did, you know, it must be right because this is what they said. This is the way it is. And when you teach them that there is no God, you teach them that there is no accountability. So they can think that, oh, well, there's no heaven, there's no hell. I can live like I want to live because I am God. I make my own destiny. I am God in and of myself. So now you are an idol unto yourself. And whatever you choose to do, right or wrong, It's okay. Because you are accountable to anybody. We're still talking about idols here. See? You think that people, when most times when we say idols, a lot of people think about money. Oh, money is the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. See? Everybody leave out that part. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, because then you find yourself doing anything to attain it. See? But in Ecclesiastes, the Bible says money is necessary. See? It's necessary, because how are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to buy clothes? Ecclesiastes says money answers all things. It answers all things. You want to know where to find that out? Find it in Ecclesiastes 10 and 19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answers all things. Because you got to pay your way. The same as the Bible says in Proverbs, a man that don't work shouldn't eat. You don't work, you don't eat. You got to work. You got to have an income in. See? But yes, money can be somebody's idol. That's all they think about. And nothing else are the riches and the cares of this world. That's when it becomes an idol. The love of money. See? And that is the basis when things become an idol in our life. That is the basis. That one word right there. Because we love that person so much, or we love that thing so much, that we place them above the love of God. And it's so funny how many times, you know, we can always X God out of stuff so easily and say, this is not the word of God, or God wouldn't do that, and God this and God that. And we have no concept of who God is, because we never took the time to seek him. We never took the time to pray. We never took the time to truly get in his word and ask for the understanding of his word. We never took the time to do that. We went on what pastor said. We went on what mama said. We went on what daddy said. But we never took the time to find out, like Job said, now I know God for myself. After he went through all those trials and tribulations, he said, now I know you for myself. I hadn't went through anything before. I heard of you before, but now I know you. That's why you hear people give their testimony when they say, oh, nobody can tell me God ain't real, because they done went through some stuff that only God could bring them out. See, so they know that God is real. They're not banking on what pastors say. They're not banking on what evangelist Tutu or anybody else, evangelist Nay-Nay, or anybody else said. They know God for themselves, because he done brought them through some stuff. He's done been there in those troubled times when nobody else could be there. And he brought them out. They spend some time with God. See? Getting to know who the real God was in their life. Not based on what somebody else said, but getting to know God for themselves. So they can't be moved. As it says in Corinthians, they are unmovable, unshakable, ever abounding in the work of the Lord. Not placing up idols. not allowing false prophets and false teachers to sway them from that which God has placed in their life. See? Hebrews 13 and 5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. They know that God is not going anywhere. So because now they have that relationship. There's no need to make an image out of anything else. There's no need to depend on the word of someone else to tell them where to go, how to go, what to do, or how to live. We put everything in the place of God. We got prayer cloths and prayer beads and prayer oil and all of these things. When his word simply says, anything that you ask in my name, believe and so shall you receive. He got $100 lines to hear a word from the Lord. You better keep your $100 and go to God on your knees for yourself. Ask him to deliver you out of that situation. His word says, no good thing will I withhold from you. Now, I'm not saying, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that there are not real prophets in the land. Yes. As it says in Ephesians, he calls some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, some pastors, some, not all. Those he called, he foreknew. Because those he called, they're right down in the trenches with you. See? They don't have a big house on the hill. See? They're not taking the church money, the tithes and offering to support their lives. They're utilizing that money. And they're sowing themselves into the vision of the ministry. That everything that God gave them to do, they are doing it. They are accomplishing it. And if they came by a new car this year, oh well, God's business comes first. They're feeding and clothing the homeless. See? They're establishing places of worship for God's people first. They're doing that first, as it says in Matthew 6. If you put my kingdom first and all of its righteousness, everything else will be added unto you. So when their lights go off at home, the church lights still on. See? They're down in the trenches with you, serving God just as you do. Making sure God's vision is accomplished. Making sure that the people see that God still is concerned about you. That he will never leave nor forsake you. They don't put themselves above you or above the people. Where was Moses? Moses went up in the mountain to commune with God, and he came back down where? To the people. He was not separate from the people. He was in the midst of the people. Where was Jesus? Jesus was in the midst of the people. And whenever there was a need, he always prayed to his Father to do what? To provide for them. Jesus didn't say, God, do this for me. The only thing you ever see in the Bible that Jesus prayed about for himself was when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, let this cup pass from me if it be thy will. But nevertheless, see, nevertheless, let thy will be done. Regardless of what I want at this moment, regardless of how I feel at this moment, let your will be done. See? That's what it means, putting God first and keeping God first and not letting any idol worship anything that may be an idol in your life not manifest itself, not take the place of who God is. It overrules your feelings. It overrules your emotions. It overrules your thoughts because you know the word of God and what it says according to his will for your life. It is not allowing anything or anyone that is contrary to that to take you away from that good thing which God has placed out on the inside of you. See? So when you know that, no false prophets, no false teachers, no liars, let's just call them liars, can come into your life and disrupt that which God has called you to do and the place where God has placed you. Regardless of how good the message makes you feel, regardless of how good the choir sings, regardless of how many times you got up and did your little dance or did your little shout in the sanctuary, it doesn't remove that good thing from which God has placed down on inside of you because you took the time to know the real God. You took the time to study his word to see what it says. Not depending on no man or woman to dictate to you, you know, line for line in your life, knowing indeed that you are on the right track. We have too many idols. Make people idols, and we know they're wrong. We know down on the inside of us they're wrong. There's no scripture in the Bible that tells us to hate anybody. There's no scripture in the Bible that tells us to dislike anybody. Hate the sin, yes. There's a lot of scriptures in there. But God says he hated. He hated the sin because sin is not of God. But as we all know it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his what? That he gave his only begotten son. Who does that? If you don't love somebody, I wouldn't give up one of my kids and say, okay, you got to go and die for these sinful people who hate me, who turned against me, who don't acknowledge me, who don't even call my name, except when they need something. And then when they get what they need, they go back to business as usual and don't thank me, they ungrateful, stiff-necked people, and only call me again when they need something, when they need saving. But I want you, my son, to go down and die for these people so they can be restored, so they can be redeemed back unto me. Why? Who does that? We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We wouldn't do that for a brother or a sister, let alone a son, a child, but that's what God required of Christ, to be that perfect sacrifice. But see, some of you even take that and make that into an idol. You got a cross of Jesus carried around your neck that you're praying to every day. Where in the Bible does it say wear a cross with Jesus on it around your neck, on your clothes, or anywhere else? And pray to it. Nowhere. That's an engraven image. That is a graven image. See? We just read in Leviticus, it said, you shall make you no idols nor a graven image. That's a graven image. Habakkuk 2:18. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof have graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusted therein to dumb idols? Those are graven images. I'm sorry, it's not the image of Christ. It's an image of suffering. And if you really study Jewish history, and it even says in the Bible that he who died on a cross, he who died on a tree, is accursed. If Christ wanted us to remember him on the cross, then guess what? He never would have rose from the grave. The cross would have been the last place that he would have been. But we know, according to the word of God, that that's not the last place that he was. He got up. The grave was empty. He walked around, flesh and blood. Met with the disciples. Ate with the disciples. Told Thomas, here, Thomas, since you won't believe, put your finger in my holes in the hand. Nowhere does it say for you to have a cross with the Lord Jesus Christ on it and worship it. If you study Christian history, you will see that that same cross caused many wars, many destruction, was utilized to kill innocent people. Study the Crusades. What did it say? God wills it. They said the cross of Jerusalem comes. And they had that cross whenever they went into battle. They wore it on their uniforms. But they went out to kill innocent folks just because they didn't believe in God. It didn't say go out there and kill all those folks who don't believe in Jehovah God, who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, go ye into all the lands and preach this gospel. Not kill them folks because they won't conform. Y'all need to study up on Catholicism. Study up on the Protestant movement. The Protestant Reformation. Talking about idols, making these things idols that the enemy has crept into the church, and it is being taught, and it is being taught erroneously. And because that's what pastors say, or that's what bishops say, and you're holding on to it, not understanding the tithe. And the erroneous teaching of the Catholic Church. And you're so caught up in these traditions that you never take time to study and compare with what the Word of God says rather than just doing it because everybody else is doing it. This is how it's always been done. You better study to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed of his hire. Because you're doing this stuff in error. These are idols that have been placed up, and men have made them sacred. And they're not. They're just a piece of wood, a piece of gold, a graven image. There has no place in the house of God, because thou shalt have no other God before me. They're going to pray to a cross for what? Not going to kiss no cross for what? No man can be God. No fleshly man can be God. I'm not bowing down to you for what? Because you say that's what a pope is. God in the earth, the devil is a liar. No, because how can you be God, the God who created everything, and you flesh and blood, and you are making ordinations and professing things that are not of God, that don't even agree with the Bible? When you tell your people, oh, you should not believe what the Bible say, but believe what I say, because I am here now. When Christ came, he went to the scrolls, he went to the Bible, he read Isaiah 61, he said, I am the fulfillment of this word. And if you read in Matthew, when he went into the temple, they say, you know, he's just a little boy, how can he understand this? How can he say that? At some points in the Bible, it says that they couldn't even refute him because he spoke with such wisdom. But they couldn't refute him because it was the truth. They were upset because he called himself the Son of God. They said he blasphemed. But here today, the Pope and other men, false prophets, can say they are God. And nobody, everybody, crowds of people flocking to them. When it says in the last days, beware of false prophets. Beware of those that say, I am Christ. Beware. We have the warning. We have the evidence. But because the crowd goes, because it's a feel-good feeling, because it's the latest new fad, we're going to run after it. Stop running after idols. Stop allowing your lustful, covetous spirits to run after the latest thing that looks like God, and find God for yourself. Find the Heavenly Father for yourself. It's by His Spirit. It is not by flesh. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, faith comes, the substance of things. It's the substance of things hoped for. You can't see things you hope for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. And that means that you truly understand it and you know that this indeed is the word of God and not the plots, plans, and schemes of the enemy that a man uses to get you to adhere to his own personal lustful wishes. Now you take the word of God, and because this is what you want, you twist it and turn it to what you need, or to please people, to keep those people money flowing into your ministry or into your pocket. Well, I just say whatever I got to say, or I'll just not say whatever I got to say because I can't lose no church membership. Hey, we're going to tell you the truth. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. Move on. Go and serve whatever God you familiar with. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to sugarcoat the gospel. He says that we are the salt of the earth, not to sugarcoat the gospel. Go and preach this gospel into all the earth. Not a gospel that you make up. Not a gospel that's pleasing to your flesh. Not a gospel that's going to have 100,000 members in your church and ain't nobody saved, nobody's life has changed, ain't nobody repenting, everybody doing the same thing they were doing the day before and the day after as they were before they even got to the church. They're doing the same thing. God's word, if it's His Spirit, it don't leave you the same. It's supposed to change you. It's supposed to change you. It don't leave you the same. We don't see nowhere where Christ went where somebody was in need, somebody was in need of deliverance, that God's word did not change them. Because we so, but because we want to be a part of the so-called in crowd, a part of the latest fad, we make people and things and places, they become idols. They take the place of God rather than what the will of God is for our life. So there's no change, there's no repentance, and no true salvation comes. No true salvation comes. Colossians 2 and 8 said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Not after Christ. After the tradition, the traditional stuff that everybody used to doing. Colossians 2 and 8 said, beware lest any Romans 12, 21 and 23, because that When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Following somebody else rather than studying yourself. Because it sounds good, because it feels good. Ooh, I like that church. They got a good choir. Ooh, I like that church because you can come dressed any kind of way. You can wear whatever. They don't even say nothing to you. Did you ever think that maybe they was more interested in your offering than your soul? That they was more concerned about the numbers and the money than your soul salvation? When did the church become a place of entertainment? See? He said, go and preach this gospel into all of this land so that men might be saved, that they might gain a personal relationship with me, not just the name. Well, yeah, I know Jesus. Do you really? How has he changed your life? What has he done for you? Oh, he woke me up this morning. He gave me food. No, what has he really done for you? What sin have you been delivered from? What bad habit has he truly delivered you from? He says, the Bible says, when you are saved by Christ, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. How are you a new creation? Doing the same things that you were doing before. Idol worship. Because, see, idol worship says that you don't have to change. Idol worship just said, you just come and give me all the glory. Idol worship says that you just come and praise me. Idol worship says you just keep me for your security blanket, that when you feel good, you pick me up, you know, and rub on me, or touch on me, or kneel to me, or pray to me, and that's going to make you feel good. Until the next time. Until the next time. Until the next time. See, but God calls for consistency. He said we go from glory to glory. Our mercies are new every morning, every day. See, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling every day. It's a daily thing. For the change to manifest. For the character of Christ to truly be in you, those characteristics that are of God, that even though you used to hate somebody, now you're praying for them and you're praying for yourself, that God changes your heart and changes your mind about those people so that you don't hate, that the spirit of hatred leaves you, that you can truly be like God and love God in spite of what people do. Why the Bible say anger and sin not. Yeah, you can be angry. You ain't got to like what everybody do or say to you. No, and you don't have to accept it. Don't get me wrong. So you can put people in their place. Just don't stand there and let somebody disrespect you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you learn to love in spite of. In spite of what they do. You have no hate in your heart. Hey, God, you know, you got to save that person. See? And even if you don't, it ain't going to be on account of I didn't bring them to your throne. It's loving in spite of. Stop allowing people and places and things and traditions and what folks say. Stop allowing those things, those aspects to allow idols to be erected in your life. And go study to show thyself approved so that men may see and know that, yes, God still exists, that God still is moving in the earth. Yes, he is. And he's still concerned about his people. See? He's still concerned about his people.
Let us pray.
Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we come before you this day, Lord God, and we humbly ask, Lord God, that everything that is unlike you in our lives, to remove it, every idol, every high imagination, everything, Lord God, that is unlike you, that is not pleasing to you in our lives, Lord God, we give you permission to remove it, Lord God. And we ask that you open our eyes even the more to every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy, Lord God, that we no longer be or no longer are influenced to become idol worshipers, Father. Every unclean thing, every unclean spirit, God, that might be in our vicinity, Lord God, in our homes, Lord God, in our workplaces, Lord God, in any aspect of our lives, Lord God, we ask that you remove it. And God, we promise to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the mighty name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. This has been Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio, If My People. I do hope that this word has touched you today, and I do hope that it causes you to take a different view and a different look and a more serious, concerted view at your relationship with Christ, that you may allow him to come in and truly be God in your life, that nothing stands above him or any place, that he is truly first in your life. We will see you next Sunday, right here, Blog Talk Radio, 12 noon. Blessings on you.
Go. You go. in my heart, lighting up my soul. Your love is always, always moving me to tears, just like a waterfall. The wonderful thing about your love, oh, it's renewing and refreshing, vital and life-giving, comforting and blessing. Your love is place where I can run to, a tower and a shelter, forgiving us forever. That's what your love is, love is. That's what your love is. That's what your love is. That's what I'm talking about.